We are back on the TV Talk Machine podcast. I'm Jason Snell, and here is your host, the chief TV critic of The Hollywood Reporter. It's your friend and mine, Tim Goodman. Hello.
Hey, Jason. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm chief-like.
Oh, right. You're in repose.
I'm working it like a chief.
All right. Very, very good. It's episode 20.
That's another milestone. I think every week is a milestone.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you knew my bad, I would say our bad history, but that's not really true, is it? Mm-hmm. Nope. I can't drag you down with me.
You can drag everybody else down, though. You can say the TV Talk Machine's history.
Yeah, we've had a crappy, crappy past.
There was a period at the Chronicle where you were doing two podcasts a week for several months in a row.
Yeah,
that was crazy. That because apparently somebody at the Chronicle, some technical person at the Chronicle, was afraid that like ghosts would come through and eat you if you did a podcast that was longer than half an hour. So you literally just did an hour long podcast and cut it in half. It didn't make and posted them both the same week. It doesn't make any sense at all why that
nothing
happened.
Made sense over there. They didn't even know where that room was, the podcasting room.
Mm.
I love that. I like when they found it by accident. What the?
This is still here.
What? We haven't leased this out yet for
profit.
We'll
put somebody's office in here.
Yeah,
you can still record podcasts around them. Yeah, good times.
So many memories.
So let's see what's going on. There's a lot of stuff coming up on that's new on or coming back, I guess, on TV this week.
Oh yeah, stuff in the TV world. I thought you might be thinking about my personal life. What's going on?
Well, if you'd like to talk about that, we can do that. That might be a totally different podcast.
It might be
Tim Goodman After Dark. Did you get your TV fixed? You were having some problems with DirecTV.
I had some real issues. I brought it to the people. I brought it to Twitter, and you can get some results on Twitter. Mm. You know that. You start nagging them, and they come out. I did get it. I did get it finished. It was nutty. And it was aggravating to not have a TV set for a week. Although I have screeners, so like that's most of what I did. But yeah, it's done. I'm up and running. I got it done before the Super Bowl. Got to watch a very good Super Bowl, by the way. Good commercials. Well, I wouldn't say good commercials, but sad advertising.
Very sad commercials.
Yes, I think that was the nadir of sad advertising, right? I mean, that's just like the sad dad Super Bowl. That was
dead sad dads, dead kids.
Yes. You're not supposed to laugh when that happens, but I did it. I did. I said, "What?"
Well, the best image of all was that the dead kid from the Nationwide commercial with a text, "I would have run it with Marshawn, but I died." That sums up that Super Bowl. It was an exciting game too. It went back and forth. It was crazy. You can't ask for more than that.
No, and the Seahawks lost.
Yeah, they did.
But then the Patriots had to win. So I don't really care about either of those teams, as I said last time. But, you know, whatever. Yeah. Life goes on.
You know, I was kind of pulling for the Seahawks, and yet to see Pete Carroll looking sad on the sideline, I don't mind Pete Carroll's sad face.
Yeah, and the Richard Sherman sad face, very good.
I don't mind that. So, you know, that was a good game. So what's
Schadenfreude?
I saw on HollywoodReporter.com that you wrote a thing about Allegiance. We talked about this briefly. This is the NBC's. Hey, The Americans is a pretty neat show. Let's do a show just like it, right?
Yes, and I have much to say about that. And one of the things that I really have to backtrack on is the fact that I kept saying. Do we really worry about Russia in 2015? Well, yeah, I guess now we really are kind of worried about them. We're getting like more insane by the day. I'm not sure I worry about them having, you know, sleeper
spies
cells
in the US,
and spies
here.
Yeah, I'm worried about them doing some other shit, like crazy, crazy Putin-esque
things overseas, nonsense. Perhaps, but less worried about Russians in our midst.
Less worried about them here. So I still believe. I just wanted to modify that stance. I still believe that we shouldn't be worrying about Russian spies on U.S. soil, but they are kind of crazy elsewhere. Those Ruskies, as they say in American television. Allegiance is you know what, Jason? It's actually not very good.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Are you stunned by that?
I'm not surprised by that. I was open to the possibility that it would be a competent network drama that was, you know, a shameless ripoff of a great cable show. I was open to that possibility, but I can't say I'm surprised that it's not very good.
Yeah, it's the beginning of it. It seems kind of competent. I watched three episodes. That's 3 hours, folks. If you're doing the math at home,
your TV was off, so
right, I had,
you
no
had nothing
choice.
Else to do. Yeah.
Let's watch another Allegiance. I watched that. The problem with it is, you know, it's adapted from an Israeli series, and they made it all very American, right? Really, the problem is, other than the fact that it's not the Americans and it sort of tries to be the Americans, is that it's burning through story too fast. So I never trust that. I never trust that on the network level, because what that means is that they're going to paint themselves into a corner. And I kind of thought this was the big box office version of, you know, a movie that comes out and tries to blow shit up to get your attention at the beginning, and then it has nothing left to do. There's no more excitement. So this one was like, they're running, you know, 100 miles an hour from the moment they start, but not like 24 did. I mean, still not going as fast as 24, still not as good as 24, by the way. But it's chewing through a lot of plot. And at the end of the third episode, after I'd watched those 3 hours, I was like, you know what? How long can they string this out?
Mm.
It's because basically the plot comes down to either the Russians are going to blow us up or we're going to foil it. And if you don't have any more than that, oh my God, that's a long season. That is a long season of like red herrings and, you know, stretching it out. So that part wasn't very good. You know what was the most disappointing part of it is, they have Hope Davis, who's a wonderful actress. And so she has a little gravitas to lend to the series. And I didn't believe her for a second in the show.
Hmm.
I didn't want to say that she was the weak link, but her acting was not very convincing in this. And I just thought, wow, if Hope Davis isn't going to bring it home for me, I'm not sure what it's going to be, because it's not going to be, you know, the unknown lead actor and Scott Cohen. So I don't think that they're, you know, those guys don't have the gravitas to pull it off, but she does, and she didn't. So they just really swung and missed on a number of levels, other than not being the Americans. And,
sure.
And by the way, should we put this in there for an exclamation point? The Americans is so awesome this year. So good.
Yep. Still number one. You'll let me know when it falls out of your imaginary power rankings.
I will let you know. And anybody, I'm not going to give a spoiler for the episode. It's already aired, because I'm cool like that. But like, you know, you'll think twice about what you can pack and not pack in your suitcase when you watch that show.
Travel tips.
Travel tips
from the Americans.
Yeah, you can fold up a lot in that suitcase.
Very nice.
All right.
So Allegiance, pass.
That's a no. Yeah, you can watch. That's a no.
It's a no.
That's a very long no. You can watch The Blacklist, though. See, to me, The Blacklist is a perfect network show. I get to see Spader over-spadering things.
Over-spadering, yeah.
There's a little over-spadering.
How was the post-Super Bowl episode? Did you watch
that? Didn't watch it, no.
No?
Did not watch it, because I had already watched hours of Super Bowl coverage, and
sure.
I was like, okay.
It is exhausting. That whole show on after the Super Bowl thing is just exhausting.
Yeah, it was too much. I'm going to watch it. I'll probably watch it over the weekend. Because I like that show. It's one of my few network shows that I really enjoy, for just kind of mindless, and it's fun. So you can watch that, but don't watch Allegiance. That's not going to help you out.
No. All right, I won't. I will strike it from my TiVo. It was never on my TiVo.
Strike it. I know that. Don't lie to me.
Allegiance.
It's not there.
Never, never. Sorry, NBC. Forget it.
Doom, doom, doom. Something big's coming up, though. You know that, right? February 8th.
What's that?
Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago when you were at the Death March. But this is the prequel, spin-off, side story thing of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I laugh because I think I literally wrote this review like a month ago.
I feel like you talked to me about Better Call Saul and said, let me tell you all about it. It's not going to air forever.
Right. And then I posted the review and it was still not going to air forever. They just wanted it to be up quickly. I think it was up like January 22nd.
Well, that'll be good for Google. You can just repost it later and say, you know,
here's this.
Remember when I reviewed this a month ago?
Yeah.
Well, now it's on.
It's so nutty.
Now it's a show.
But, yeah. So just to revisit what we had said there is I think that it's kind of I'm not sure it'll work. Ultimately, I'm going to be very excited to see the ratings, and not just for the first episode. I want to see the ratings by the third episode, fourth episode, something like that. See where it's going. But it's you know, it takes place 6 years before Breaking Bad, the series, took place, and so he's not Saul Goodman yet. He's Jimmy McGill, or James McGill, a law corporation.
Mm.
You know, he's just not very good at what he's doing, but The interesting thing about the series is that it's a real, I think I said this before, it's a real slow burn. I mean, it moves really slowly. And I love that about most shows. But I think when you're looking to see whether a highly touted spinoff is going to actually make an impact, and it has so much baggage with it about expectations, I was a little surprised that the first hour moves so slowly and that that it ends kind of on a cliffhanger. Hmm. And then the second episode kicks off and it doesn't go much faster. And then that also kind of ends without resolution. So it's interesting. I do like it. And it's interesting to see some of the characters, new characters, but also characters from the past reappear. But I'm going to watch it. And I think that I love the fact that they earned the right to make a really slow series. And it's on cable and you can do that. But I just don't know for them, as far as ratings wise, whether this is what people are looking for. I don't know if that's what they want.
So you creatively, are you into it? Or are you still also withholding judgment and just saying it's too early to tell?
I'm into it. Is I think that the rational explanation of that is it's too early because, you know, we only got a couple of episodes to see. And, I love the opening. I love the cold open. It's shot in black and white. It's like 7 minutes. It's really slow and barely anything is said in it. And it's brilliant. It basically opens with and this is not a spoiler. It basically opens with Saul in hiding. And then after it does this black and white cold open, it goes to the current where he's, 6 years prior. Mm. So I love that they still do those visual takes. The camera's work is not as tricky as it was before where they used to put the camera everywhere, right? In the toilet and on the end of a shovel and crazy things like that. They're not doing that so much in the ones that I saw. But I kind of liked it. I thought, okay, let's see where this is going. It's definitely more of a kind of like a intriguing novel that's not quite as dangerous as the first one. Mm-hmm. Is lightning going to strike twice? I doubt it, but that doesn't mean it's going to be like a non-starter. I think it's just going to be a show that people think, this is a pretty good drama. I think that's the other thing too, by the way, is that it's not really funny. So it's definitely a drama. And, he doesn't get to the point where he's doing all that funny Saul Goodman stuff where his morals are already sold out and he's just trying to stay alive. But to me, it's more interesting as a TV story right now for me than it is a series. Mm. So I'll watch it and I'll watch all of them, no doubt about it. But to me, I'm not excited that it's coming on as like, hey, Better Call Saul, it's going to debut on Sunday. I'm more excited as like, okay, as a story in the industry, I want to see where this one goes.
It is a great story to see them be given, all this runway to like tell your story. We mm-hmm. like Breaking Bad. Go for it.
Yeah. And it's, there's a lot riding on it for AMC. A lot of their shows are coming to an end and you're going to have to replenish it. I think they will. I think they eventually will replenish it with shows and good ones too. Obviously, they still have The Walking Dead.
Well, and they're doing a Walking Dead spinoff now too, right?
Yes, which is that could be amazing, and they should be doing a Walking Dead spinoff. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If they're smart, they would even probably have like three spinoffs. It'd be like a CSI version.
Yeah, Walking Dead LA, and then you can do Walking Dead New York.
Yes, absolutely. Just have spread it out. Have zombies in every city. Why mm-hmm. not? 20-something million people watch it every week. I would watch all three of those. Mm. You cannot get enough zombies. Never enough.
Of Walking Dead zombies.
Walking Dead
zombies. I think we've established there are some other shows where you can get enough zombies.
Yes, exactly. There are other ones where there can be enough. But yeah, not this one. And by the way, Better Call Saul is on Sunday at 10. And the Walking Dead precedes that. The Return of the Walking Dead at 9 p.m. precedes that. So that's a pretty great lead-in, right? You're going to have bring all those people to Saul. But this is a cruel thing to say, but I kind of thought like, wow, what if the first episode back in The Walking Dead totally ends on this adrenaline rush? And then you go right into Saul and it's like, ooh, snooze fest. Oh, well. But that's just like, that's inside baseball. Who cares?
We're just watching on their DVRs anyway.
They don't care. Yes. Right? You think people are – so that you think that people are going to watch The Walking Dead live and then watch Better Call Saul later?
I don't know. Do people leave it tuned? I mean, if ever people were going to leave it tuned to the same channel for two straight hours, I guess it would be that. That would be a good combo.
I guess. And some people might be watching the 57th annual Grammy Awards, which is also on the same night.
I guess.
I don't know. I'm not going to watch it.
No.
But people will watch it. It does get decent ratings.
Well, it's – as an award show, it makes sense because it's got musical performances. So it's like, mm-hmm. it's not like the Oscars is just them showing you a movie, right? But with the Grammys, they can actually do music performances.
And they do a lot of them.
It's a better kind of show. It's not really, the awards are kind of not as important as the performances, I think, which is smart because it makes it a better show.
Right. And then it's hosted by LL Cool J.
Yeah,
and
Mr. J.
Yeah. The ladies love Cool J, mm-hmm. just in case you wanted to know that. It's a fact.
I was aware of it. They love him because he's on that CBS drama.
Isn't it amazing? He's turned that into gold,
Mr.
man.
Mr. J, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, and then he becomes a go-to host for the Grammys on CBS, right?
Yeah, don't call it a comeback. That's all I'm saying.
Nope.
Yeah.
So Walking Dead, you have any other thoughts about Walking Dead? Have you seen any of the
I have
new
not.
Stuff?
I have not. And I actually, even if I was given it, I probably wouldn't watch it. I mean, I that series is so established right now that I watch it as a fan. So I'm just like, bring it on. I got my popcorn and soda. No, I don't. I have my red wine.
Yep.
And I'm watching that and I'm excited. I'm like, let's have some zombies. Let's have some existential angst.
No better way to watch the end of the world and the death of humanity than with some red wine.
Some red wine. You know, it pretty much solves a lot of problems.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. We should do a wine podcast. I'd do that.
I don't know anything about if it was a podcast in which we just drank wine, I would be up for that. If talking about it, I don't know.
We could do a live performance of us just drinking wine.
Okay.
And talking about stuff.
That sounds
good.
You
could talk a bunch of stuff about like tech.
Sure.
And I'll just get drunk and talk about TV. It'd be
sure.
awesome. Let's do that.
That
and we could talk
good.
About like burritos.
That'll be our
zombies.
Special live episode, special yeah. in-person episode where just I'll bring over a bottle of wine and we'll turn on the microphones.
No, I got it. I got you covered.
Oh,
I got it.
That's
got
true. I'll yeah. bring up over an empty bottle. I'll bring over an empty glass and we'll just go from there. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
end of the
that's.
World.
That's not going to happen, clearly. You know what else is coming back, though, buddy? We got two things coming back. Well, one thing new and one thing coming back.
Okay.
The coming back one is, I just throw up a little flair for people. Last Week Tonight with John
Woo-hoo!
Oliver returns. Woohoo! I loved the little trailer that he did featuring my where
the
I
one
rated
that you're
him.
In, yeah.
That's great. I love that one. So that's back. Just a little heads up for people. And then also, God, it's a big Sunday. I swear to God. Like, I mean, people are going to watch the Grammys. So you got the Grammys, you got The Walking Dead, you've got
Better Call Saul,
right? And then you got later on, deep into the night, you got John Oliver. But right in the middle, you've got this great documentary on HBO, which I would just tell people you have to watch this. It's called The Jinx. The Jinx, the life and deaths, plural, the life and deaths of Robert Durst. And it's really kind of amazing. The director of Capturing the Freedmans, Andrew Jarecki, he did this documentary, and it's a 6-part, so it's really long. And it's fascinating because, you know, the backstory is that Robert Durst has avoided any of these deaths that are linked to him, and for the most part, I guess. And he called up Jarecki and said, "Hey, I hear you're looking for me, trying to." And he has that on tape. He has amazing stuff on tape. It's kind of like a documentary that I'm not saying people haven't heard it before because there's really or seen it this type before because there's obviously, you know, The Staircase and Capturing the Freedmans. But wow, this is going to be good. I think people should put it on their trailers.
On Grantland today,
mm-hmm.
Andy Greenwald likened it to the Serial podcast, that
mm-hmm.
it's a
yes.
you know true story of an actual crime that happened, told over multiple weeks, and that's not a bad angle to say it's like you know an HBO documentary series that's a little bit like that podcast that people love. That's a if that's the hook that needs to get people into it, that it's a true crime story told over several weeks.
Yep,
maybe so.
You know, it's we're telling a TV story over 20 weeks right here.
Yes. The
story
of television.
We just missed that kind of zeitgeisty Serial thing.
It'll happen.
So I don't know. We
It'll
need
happen.
To kill somebody. That's our thing.
People dig into the archive.
At
some point. They're
yes.
going to wonder what happened to your TV and
we'll go in there.
How you lost the TV for a week and all of
yeah,
that stuff.
It'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kill somebody and that will our ratings go way up.
All right. So The Jinx then is a must watch.
That's a must watch.
You're assigning that. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to watch it on Sunday because it's just like there's too much other good stuff. But mentally note that, record it, and then watch it. Definitely.
All right. That's a busy Sunday.
It is a busy Sunday. And man, there's kind of nothing. But before, this is big, before our podcast on the following Friday, interesting, I think, to talk about this. There was an Australian series called The Slap. You may have heard of this, and you may have seen the previews on NBC. Mm. So U.S. version is been remade. It's kind of all-star cast. Peter Sarsgaard, Uma Thurman, Thandie Newton. She's the British actress. Melissa George, who I believe was actually in the Australian version. Zachary Quinto and Thomas Sadowski, late of Newsroom, is in it. And it's directed by Lisa Chulodenko, who did The Kids Are All Right. So it's a pretty big deal. It's an 8-hour miniseries. And again, based off of this Australian format, and the premise is very, very simple. A big diverse group family gets together to celebrate things and not celebrate things, and then there's tensions, and all people are together, and somebody's kid gets slapped, and then there's repercussions and wounds are opened up. So apparently, it's a very good book, I'm told. I gotta say, the first episode that I watched, and I tweeted this out, I was like, I wanted to slap the kid in The Slap way before he gets slapped by Zachary Quinto. I mean, he was driving me crazy, that kid. And then you realize, okay, you know what? No one in this show is actually very likable. And a lot of the scenarios that are set up to create the situation where you have the slap and then subsequently you take sides on what characters are involved that you meet. Nobody's really, really likable. And it's kind of like, it seemed a little too amped up for me. I did not see the Australian version, but this one seems a little too TV for me, everybody is kind of like in a crisis point. And one of the Zachary Quinto's character is kind of a dick, but then he's, compared to the dad of the son that gets slapped, he's kind of not that bad. And, you know, and then so that's because the dad is an idiot. And then, you know, and then in the middle you have Peter Sarsgaard, who is the part of the – and he's married to Thandie Newton, and that's the middle – that's the main family unit. You know, and is he going to have an affair with his really super young babysitter? I don't know. I mean, it's like you don't like any of these people. And so – I think when you have a situation where you really want to slap the entire cast, you might have a problem on your hand. That doesn't mean I don't like it. It's actually shot like a indie movie. I was really kind of blown away by how the pilot was well directed, and not a surprise, I guess, if you have Chulodenko doing it. But it's I don't know if that's going to be a series though. I don't know if, and it has this weird narration. I would have loved to have seen your face or anybody's face, but you would have laughed. Like, it's kind of it like you're watching this thing and it seems like an Indian movie, and all of a sudden you have this, and I'm not kidding you, you have this kind of, I think I might actually maybe will make you laugh, or you have a little bit of a Jane the Virgin voiceover. So it's really out of place. It's like blah 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 blah. I'm like, what, where's that voice coming from? This is a voiceover. And it's like, I'm making up the names. It's like Andy was living a normal life, and then he decided to bone the babysitter, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, what? This seems very unnecessary to have a voiceover. And maybe the Australian version had it, and so they copied it, but did not like that.
Interesting.
Did not like that voiceover at all. Because it wasn't just – it was like it didn't fit the tone. So,
well, that's it. The voiceover matches the tone on Jane the Virgin.
Absolutely, right. It's a character. It's part of what makes the show so great. Mm-hmm. And on The Slap, it's like you literally, like, I felt like I wanted to look up, like, where's that voice coming from?
Hello,
is that my neighbor? Who's that? Whose voice is that ruining this TV show? So I don't know. Again, that's one, like, I would say I don't think it's going to be. You know, it could be a thing like the Serial. We'll throw that in there and make everything sound like it was a Serial podcast.
Sure.
But maybe after 3 or 4 episodes, it's on social media. People are just talking about it constantly. Oh, have you seen The Slap?
They've totally hedged it, though, because this is an 8-episode miniseries sold as that. So, you know, I think, you know, whether it goes or not, right, it's going to
right, it's going to air.
End.
You're going to see it, and
then
end.
It'll be over, yeah.
But as far as, like, I mean, right, I mean, the biggest thing of our time right now, as we've talked many times, is like, will you tune in? And I think if you tune into the, and this has the same issues that Better Call Saul has, but it has none of the built-in legacy that would make you loyal. So, right. You know, I watched this lap, and when it ended, I was like, oh, I am not sure if people were going to stay around for episode two if they stayed in that, you know, because at the end of it, I was kind of laughing at the end of the first episode. I'm like, okay, I saw that kid get slapped. and he needed to get slapped. There's no question. I would have slapped the shit out of that kid. I wouldn't have, of course, but I'm just saying that. Felt like I wanted to. I wanted to slap that kid into next Tuesday. And then you're like, yeah, he deserves it. Everybody around it just thinks the kid deserves it. And then everybody realizes you don't hit kids. That's a bad thing. So Zachary Quinto gets, you know, scolded. Yeah. And then I'm like, fine. That should be it. But
The end.
Kid was slapped. The end. So I don't know. That's another one where I'm thinking like, okay, let's see if this works.
You're feisty. You're salty today.
I'm a little salty
today.
Yeah,
a little bit. That's fine. I just write down that I check the box that marks it as
salty
in iTunes. Yeah, and then it's okay. The salty box.
Explicit box.
Yep.
We're just trying to get the kids involved.
Yep.
It says explicit. They'll listen to it.
Yeah, that makes it better. For them.
If you tell them that you're going to have a 15-minute discussion about the slowness of Better Call Saul, they're not going to tune in.
No.
No, you tell them that there's going to be like talk about old school rap and explicit lyrics.
Yep.
They
tune in.
All over that.
Mm-hmm.
It's bait and switch. This is what this podcast is about. It's bait and switch.
I am not going to watch the slap. How about that?
There you go. See? You're out already. I talked you right out of it.
I'll watch the Jinx. I'll not watch the slap. I'm very excited that John Oliver's coming back, so that I'm putting that on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that makes me bleary-eyed on Monday morning as I stay up to watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Well, we got a lot done in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to do some quick listener feedback?
Yes, absolutely.
Right now, I'm going to remind everybody how you send us listener feedback. You can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TV Talk Machine, and you can post there. You can send us a tweet on Twitter just to @TVTM, or if you want to address us directly, @BastardMachine is Tim, and I am Jay Snell at Twitter. And you can also send us an email at podcast@TVTalkMachine.com. So those are the ways you can reach us. So please, without you, this segment disappears. Maybe if you hate this segment, just don't send us anything. It'll go away.
Without you, that sounded a little like PBS.
Yeah, that's right.
Without you, like listeners like you.
This is like a tote bag, this segment. If you don't call in, there will be no tote bag. Longtime fan Steve in the 808.
808, I know what that is. That's Hawaii, baby.
Formerly of the 415, and previously to that, the 313. Interesting.
Ooh, that one I don't know. That's got to be like in Arizona or something, right?
Detroit.
Well, close. Arizona. Yeah, Detroit.
From Detroit to San Francisco to the islands. He's headed west.
Dude, he started out like in a rough agro town.
Mm-hmm.
Went to San Francisco and got a little culture and he got a little more laid back.
And he says, I need to be even more laid back.
Right.
I'm feeling
San
the Aloha group.
Kind of a cold town. And then he kind of moved. And now he's in the 808 state. And that's it, man. It's just all sunshine and waves right now.
So Steve in the 808 says, I was listening to another podcast the other day. Steve.
Oh, fucker.
Why?
Really?
There was he salty.
See, like, why would you do? Why do you start with that?
Why you have
like
to lash
talking
out?
Talking about
huh?
Grantland. Why are you talking about Grantland on my podcast? That's, well, they have their own podcast.
You haven't written your story. Isn't up yet about
That's
Jinx.
True. That's true.
That's why
it all comes back to my laziness. Well, I would talk about your review.
Just blame
Tim,
your editor.
You didn't have one.
Blame your editor. It's like no. I totally would be on that. Anyway, listening to another podcast with Rainn Wilson of Backstrom, a show that you dislike.
I did not like it. Yes.
And he was talking about the TCAs. Okay, the Death March with Cocktails.
Uh-huh.
One thing he mentioned was the uncomfortable meet and greet with critics. He said it was very awkward with everyone just milling around and trying to make small talk. I was wondering if Tim attends these junior high type mixers, and if so, what do you talk about? I'm assuming it must be really strange to try and strike up a conversation with someone you may have written a negative review about in the past. Well, we know that occasionally happens. But
yes.
are these awkward when they cart out an actor and, you know, you're kind of rubbing elbows with various actors who don't want to be there?
Oh, I wonder. Well, I wonder exactly what he's saying there about the meet and greet, because there's a couple things. I think there was actually a after the Backstrom panel. I'm guessing this, my memory has faded because my memory involves nothing but shrimp and booze and hookers
in general.
Right. And like fat.
Strange that the shrimp is just sticks with you.
It does, doesn't it? Right. Mm-hmm. So my TCA memories are cloudy, but I think that after that session, there was a little kind of like, let's all meet out in the lobby for a little quick something. There might have been that. But if he's talking about the party, which Fox did have a party, Fox and FX had a party, and we do mingle. That's more than a meet and greet, though, because that was kind of a big to do, right? I mean, it was in the hotel in a gigantic room, but it was meet and greet sounds kind of awkward. Whereas a party, you're kind of mingling around. But that might have been odd for him.
Junior high type mixers, I think, is the key phrase here. So it's
junior
the
high type
awkward party. Is it awkward or is it fun?
No. Oh, no, it's not awkward. That Fox party was fun. Yeah. I didn't, you know, like I said, I keep my head on a swivel and my badge in my pocket. I got to, you know, I don't think my Backstrom review was done at that point yet, yeah, which is good. So I would have probably had to try to hide from him a little bit. But, and there were people I had to dodge that night. But we didn't find that it was a junior high school mixer. That was kind of a cool party. But if it was one of those things right after the session where you kind of come out in the ballroom and have like a ice cream sundae or something. Yeah, those are awkward. Those are weird. Mm. And also, I got to say this. I'm just going to say this. At the parties, there's a very small contingent of diehard, got to get it into the paper or online reporters who are getting quotes. They're coming up to actors and producers and they're asking a lot of questions, quick, and they're gone.
They're building their stories.
Right. They're doing that. And that's all getting out. That's part of it. That's like the working mechanism of the event. I get that. But then there is another group of people who kind of just want to talk to the people, and they're kind of our lesser, they're not really critics, they're kind of lesser people. And sometimes they're not even from the TCA. They could have been credentialed through Fox. And so that must be awkward for them to talk to people they don't really want to talk to.
You mean people lesser than critics? That sounds terrible.
Right. That sounds
terrible. Who wants to talk to those people?
Who wants to talk to lesser? That would be reporters, I guess, right?
I guess. Maybe. Bloggers?
Maybe.
I don't know. Fan magazine editors?
I try not to talk to any star unless I like them as a person. So I try to avoid them.
It's good that you – I remember what it was a couple years ago that you talked about meeting Tatiana Maslany at a BBC
yes.
America party.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was the most envious I think I've ever been of the Death March with cocktails. But
well, that one was funny because it had been prearranged, right? I was the earliest adopter, according to BBC America. And they were, you know, on the – and I know the – producers now are the directors and the producers now. And, you know, she was blown away by all the early stuff I did. So I was in a good state at that point. Yeah. Well, I still am, right? I still love the show. So BBC America was trying to set things up for me to meet her like on the side, like just come. She wants to meet you, do this and that. We'll come here. And then she didn't come to she got sick and she didn't come to TCA Awards the year prior. And then so this one she came out to and she was, of course, lovely and accommodating. And I thought, you know what? They had her out in this little garden area. And I thought, well, maybe I won't even go out there. But then I was like, you know what? She's literally – that is one person I definitely want to talk to because, you know, she's adorable. And I love her as a performer.
Yeah, fantastic.
And I thought, like, we probably should say something because we've talked before, like past whatever. I went out there and had a great time with talking to her. It was great. I felt like it was one of those things where I didn't want to bust in. And that's when having the name tag is handy because I didn't, you know, no one from BBC, which I gave them grief later. I'm like, dude, you could have like been the wedge buster and like got me in there and said, hey, you know, here's Tim or whatever. But instead, I was kind of milling around. But she saw my badge and I got my hugs. I got a couple of hugs.
So you took your badge out of your pocket.
I was waving it around like a fucking neon sign. Woo, Tatiana, the woo. Yeah, I was doing that.
So it wasn't like a junior high type mixer at all.
I wasn't making the kissy kissy sounds. I don't think. I mean, I might have been, but I don't.
Your
I don't
memory doesn't. It's just shrimp and booze. So
it's shrimp and booze and fat at that time. I have no idea. But yeah, I was good. And we had a nice little chat. And she was very sweet. And we had a long chat. Yes. Mm. Okay.
So It's good though that you keep your head on a swivel just in case somebody's really angry that because you wrote a bad review of their show or their husband's show, whoever it might be. At the TCA twice now, either Steve Carell or Stephen Colbert has brought up a negative review that that ran on my website like 15 years ago about Steve Carell's performance in a Tim Curry vehicle called Over the Top.
Wow.
And apparently it became such a running gag with Carell and Colbert when they were working on The Daily Show. And it was my friend Pete's review of Over the Top, which said things like, I've seen horrors. I've seen a man's skin pulled over, over the back of his skull in the morgue. I have seen all these things, but I had not known true horror until I saw Steve Carell's performance in Over the Top. And they can like quote it from memory, those guys.
So, that is.
And I have an email somewhere in my mailbox from Stephen Colbert saying, now that is comedy, basically. So that is some good writing. Because, I mean, and to the TV critics, it's like, dude, TV critics didn't write that. That was a law school student writing it on a blog in the 90s. But, again, to them, you're all the same.
We're all the same.
Junior high type.
We're all just like a junior high bloggers.
Bloggers, yeah.
Yeah. No wonder I ignore them all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep your head on a swivel.
Absolutely.
Could be snipers anywhere. All right. Here's Bob from the 707.
Ooh, 707. I do like the area codes, but 707 is not ringing a bell. What is that? I know. Part of me knows that you're frantically looking it up
is,
right now.
That the 707 is the north coast of California.
Oh, why don't I know that? That's Sonoma.
Yeah,
right?
and although he signs it Bob from the 707, this is Bob Mack.
Oh, it's Bob Mack.
This is
so
Bob
Mack.
Bob from the 707.
Legendary. He's Hall of Fame first ballot for putting up the flat bastard sign after his wife gave birth into the hospital. That goes, literally, that is Hall of Fame first ballot support. So Bob Mack is tremendous. Can you imagine your wife? You're just, Jason, you say, you know what? Okay, we just had our first child. Let's take a picture
of a logo from a podcast.
A logo from a podcast and like put it up right in front of the bloody baby's face.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's commitment. Wow. So
707. How do I not know that? That's Sonoma. That's like Sonoma.
That is wine country.
Jesus, it's been coursing through my blood right now.
So I can't seem to stop thinking about what Jason has said a few times now. With reruns basically a thing of the past, what does the future hold for shows that are trying to get syndicated? A few years ago, a show that got to 100 episodes hit it big because that meant the show could be sold as reruns. Is that still happening? Another thing that worries me is that we're losing these pop culture references. My kids will never know about Marsha's Nose, Pity and the Fool, and what Willis is talking about, Bob from the 707. So, yeah, is this all gone by the wayside, or is there still this idea of, get your show? I mean, there's still channels out there that show reruns all the time. I know multiple people whose kids are obsessed with Full House now because it's rerunning all the time on cable now.
It's like this
next generation of kids is now apparently watching. I don't understand it myself. Full House reruns all the time.
Yeah, that I don't. I didn't even watch that when it came
out. No,
I was a music critic during those times. They're still happening. Reruns are still happening. Getting to 100 episodes is still a milestone. That doesn't mean you'll get syndicated. It means that you're eligible to be syndicated. Then you have to have somebody go sell it for you. But if it's, if it's like How I Met Your Mother or something like that, totally it's going to get syndicated.
It's going to be on cable. It's going to get on local channels in syndication too. You get to cash in a couple of times. It goes on streaming. Get the streaming money.
Yeah, streaming rights. It's going to be on DVDs. But yeah, it will pop up. I think it's just popping up on more obscure cable channels. Yeah. I think that's what it is. I think people are finding reruns of strange stuff like where they would not think they would see it, like Pivot or something like that, or that new pop channel.
Well, the X-Files is rerunning now in, I think, the HD remastered versions is on the El Rey network.
Yeah, El Rey, right? Yeah. So that's Robert Rodriguez's channel. So you think it pops up in weird places like that. So yeah, they're still happening. There is still a home for them. And there are people who are still – see, this is what I don't get, just as an aside. Having watched all that stuff, there's very few things I would actually watch again.
Yeah.
And we live in this world, again, this is the theme of this podcast. There's just too much TV. I can't imagine like saying, you know what? Let me sit down for a whole bunch of episodes of show X from the 80s when you have all this new content that you could be watching. I don't get it.
Yeah, and as for common reference points, I think there will still be some common reference points, but they're not going to be maybe the you know, trashy sitcom reruns that we saw. It's going to be more like, you know, American Idol, or it's going to be back a few years ago, or Top Chef, or some YouTube channel that is popular with my daughter. And there is still always going to be frame of reference stuff, cultural frame of reference stuff, but I don't know about carrying down common cultural frames of reference from when we were kids to the next generation. I think that ain't going to happen, other than Full House. If you liked Full House, you are in for a whole new generation who's going to be talking about
that. And Simpsons,
yeah, well, and some of that stuff gets rediscovered, right? The Simpsons has boomeranged a few times now.
Yeah.
And I think some of that stuff totally floats back up. I actually think that's one of the great things about Netflix, right? Is that now if you hear about something from anyone and you're intrigued, you can just watch it. And
yeah, and Hulu,
it's right there. You don't have to wait, right, for any of these on-demand streaming services. You can just watch one, and if you like it, just keep watching it, and that can go on forever. So,
and it's not a bad thing for some things to fall out of the cultural lexicon.
Yeah, it's okay with me if Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch kind of fade away, actually. Yeah. I gotta say,
and the words and phrases, you know, yeah. What you talking about, Willis? That can go.
Yeah,
I'm done with that. Yeah. Let's move on. We'll find a new one, right? We'll find, like, I don't know, something from the new generation of terrible TV shows.
Sure.
Who knows?
Maybe from LL Cool J. Maybe he's got a catchphrase.
You know, the ladies love Cool J. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you knew that.
I did.
Yeah. The ladies.
I just learned that recently.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very short shout out from Andrew in Ireland, who simply says, love to your mothers.
Love to your mothers.
And I better send you a call at some stage, but I'm catching up on all the podcasts following my Netflix Friends binge fest. See, now here this is what we're talking about.
Oh.
You don't need to go, but you're going to watch Friends again? I liked Friends. I watched all those shows when they were on. I'm not going to ever watch that again.
Did we plan that? Because we had this talk, and then it led into Andrew's letter. This was a plan? Because I didn't plan it.
Totally planned, Tim. That's called professionalism.
Okay.
Just or an
like
accident.
Looking up 707.
One of them, yeah. Mm-hmm. I had that on the top of my head.
Google. Okay.
Click. Yeah. Anyway, so love to your mothers for me.
Love to your mothers. I love that. I got to make a t-shirt out of that or something.
So speaking of Friends, see, Tim, it all works together. Rachel from Facebook, right? I don't have any letters from Ross. Or Phoebe or Chandler or Joey, but I do have, or who was Courtney Cox? I can't even remember who she was. I'm blanking on a friend's name. Oh my God. Rachel on Facebook. Forget about Courtney Cox. She was in that Bruce Springsteen video anyway.
Right.
And Misfits of Science. She was in other things too. That's, you know. Tim, I'm forgetting. You like The White Queen, right? Amazon Prime just added it. So, So what's The White Queen?
The White Queen is a miniseries that was on Starz, started in England, historical drama with some sex. He's always a good hooking point there.
And it's now apparently on Amazon Prime.
It is. And there is they're doing another version of that. And I know Starz has wanted to do that. I don't actually know if that's in production or not, but I think it is. So yeah, if you want to catch up on The White Queen, it's good. I liked it.
Oh, it says the Starz is planning to develop a sequel miniseries.
See? There you go.
There you go. Thanks,
find out all
Google.
Your information here. Not always rock solid, but we sometimes have hints.
Some
that stuff is happening.
Sometimes we make it up.
What's that? We do, but it's exciting when we do.
So here's we have an important note from Alan in the 415.
Okay. Yeah. Area code of record.
Yep. He says, just a warning. This month, the 628 area code will be added as an overlay on the 415.
No.
I wouldn't want this change to taint your careful data collection. Alan in the 415.
628?
628.
I don't like that at all.
You know, people with phone numbers in the 628 are 6-2 late.
Oh, look at you already. You're 6-2 late.
Too late.
That's a half dozen too late. Okay, yeah, there's a lot we can work with that.
All right. So when we get somebody in 6-2-8 and we go, where is that? The answer is not going to be San Francisco. The answer is going to be, I don't know.
Yeah, and we're going to say that's so sad.
Don't know.
But that does two things. If you put the 6-2-8 area code on there, it makes – you cut out a bunch of people from 415. That makes the remaining people holding on the 415 code.
Yep.
Better.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it elevates those codes that are like not as sexy as 415 and 510, like the 925
in
the East Bay. Oh, so now all of a sudden, 925 is not the bottom of the totem pole.
Oh, no, 925 loves the addition of the 628.
Oh, they like they're rock stars now.
Yeah,
kind of suburban rock stars.
Yes, exactly right. They're more of a Coldplay.
Oh God! Oh my God! Part of my soul just melted right there. That's just awful that you'd even bring that up. Wow.
Yeah.
Save that kind of stuff for Grantland.
Okay. Good.
All right.
That's right.
All right.
You mean where they post TV reviews of the Jinx?
In a timely fashion.
And we have one last bit of feedback, and this is entirely self-serving feedback from our good pal, my Vogon Poetry on Twitter, who's written in many times.
Yes,
he says, I left iTunes podcast reviews for many podcasts, including TVTM. And that's a good reminder to all of you to, if you like this show, rate it on iTunes. That helps us gain visibility on the iTunes podcast directory. And if you don't like this show, one, why are you still listening? And two, don't review it. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, that's very succinct.
I don't want to hear it. If you have constructive feedback, please send it to us.
Right.
But iTunes reviews are also very helpful.
Yes, I didn't know that. I guess I should know that. It's right. We do need iTunes reviews, positive ones.
It's nice.
And let's just, you know what? Let's put this, make it a little more enticing. If you give us a positive review, you get a pony. That's like the standard. I always do
standard.
That, right? Everybody
Apple,
gets a standard.
Apple sends you a pony.
You get a pony
from
and
Apple.
Then, right, and if it's really good, you get like a pony and then also a pony keg.
Yes, it's not from us, though.
Well, we'll get it there somehow.
Sure.
It'll just do it first.
Not a guarantee.
He says under his breath, Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. How about that for a callback?
We wrapped all the way around.
Yes, and I want to close on something, though.
Yes. So
this is like because we've been actually very informative for people and helpful.
At times.
At times, I know that.
Occasionally.
I want people to – so we've already talked about Fresh Off the Boat last week, and it did really great this week when it came out on its 2 days, two episodes on Wednesday. Did great. Good ratings. Catch them if you can. I think they're still on iTunes and they're on Netflix. But next Tuesday, it goes back to its normal slot at 8 o'clock. It's not in the protected slot on Wednesday. So it's got great reviews. People are all over it. People who watched it think it's really funny. So – I'm a fan of it, and I would say next Tuesday at 8 o'clock, don't miss Fresh Off the Boat.
And if you did miss the pilot, you should also know, how about this?
Okay.
It's free on iTunes.
Wow.
So you can go to iTunes and get the Fresh Off the Boat pilot and watch it.
Is there nothing that we don't offer people? I mean,
nope.
It's just...
We got it all.
It's just, it's unbelievable. We should start charging for this.
20 weeks of this.
20 weeks of
amazing.
This.
Amazing.
Who doesn't want that?
It's amazing.
Yes.
Well, okay. I think we wrapped that up on a high note. You got to go out on a high note, and we did.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Strong.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody out there for listening to TV Talk Machine number 20. We will be back next week with much, much more. Tim, pleasure as always.
As always. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.